very good afternoon to you all, and welcome once again to What's Cooking. And as usual, we have a programme packed full of food, so let's ask, what's cooking? Summer is here. It's the time of year when we're possibly thinking of eating outdoors, maybe eating lighter meals, and if not eating lighter meals, certainly not doing so much slaving over a hot stove. And that's what we're going to concentrate on today. Lots of summer recipes. No potted history today. We do have lots of delicious recipes, so we are going to get straight on with those. And first up, we have salad niçoise.
Rowley Lee is a leading chef and author of a book on seasonal English cooking. He's standing by at the ready here with me to prepare the perfect salad niçoise. Rowley, many people will be familiar with the British version of this dish with tuna and potatoes. I can't see either of these ingredients in your pile. Talk us what makes your salad.
Well, I've gone back to the real McCoy.
So what do we got here? And you can start putting it together as you tell us.
It's really a tomato salad with lots of other bits and pieces.
Let's go scang in for a bit of blanching there into the pan, yeah?
Yeah, I'm just going to put those on and blanch them very briefly so I can get the skins off them. And
that's a very quick blanching. So how long is that taking?
How long should we be blanching? 20, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Depends slightly on the equipment to hand. The first thing to do is I'm taking a plate here and I'm rubbing it. I put a little bit of salt on it, which will help to break down the garlic and season the salad.
So you're actually rubbing the garlic across
like a lot of salads, you know, whether it's a wooden bowl or a ceramic one. That will pick up the perfume of the garlic.
So that means we don't get those gritty bits of garlic in the salad, but we've got the nice, zingy taste. And here comes the tomato.
Tomatoes are coming out.
We just get the best ones we can for this.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll get progressively better between now and September.
Any particular ones or just nice big red, round ones?
Lovely red ones. Really, you want scent from tomatoes as well as sweet, rich flavour. And now, you know, even the Dutch ones are very much better than they used to be. These smell lovely.
So while you're just getting those tomatoes peeled there, what else is going to go in?
Right, well, the tomatoes are the base, and then I've got a hard-boiled egg, which is the only cooked ingredient, which sort of makes it a bit of a lunch.
Firmly hard-boiled?
No, still slightly, you know, soft in the middle.
That's all right for you to say, but for those of us who never know quite how long to boil an egg, that's a terrible confession.
Oh, it's so simple.
So come on then, how long should we boil an egg?
Well, for something like this, you simply put them in cold water in a small saucepan, bring them up to the boil, and then for these were 5 minutes. If you want them a slightly softer, runnier yolk.
Got it.
4 minutes. Okay. And then you take them off and dip them in cold water. And then they pop out of the shells. And it's really quite simple.
And what about greenery in this salad? Where is our crunch going
We've got loads of greenery. We've got cucumbers, surprisingly, which some people don't expect to get from the south of France, but you do. You know, you get cucumber even in Greece in a Greek salad. I've got cucumber. I've got peppers, which I've peeled, because I hate pepper skin. I have broad beans, and you can either peel those just by dropping them in boiling water, but I've been purist here. I peeled them raw.
You peel them raw?
Yep.
Pod them. I suppose it's a bit quicker if they've been in water.
It's much quicker. Nice. But, you get a knack for it. It all depends if you're in a terrible, terrible hurry, and everybody now talks about cooking as though it's a chore, and it's got to be done in 30 minutes, we've got to be quick, we don't have time to cook.
We've got the egg going onto the tomato.
I'm piling the egg on top of the tomato, so we've got already building up quite a lot of colour. cucumbers are going on top of that.
Oh, talk us about through the seasoning quickly, if you
put
could.
I've already put the salt on the bottom. I put a little bit of red wine vinegar on the tomatoes.
That's going to be all vinegary.
Well, it brings out the sweetness in the tomatoes. Next, I think we'll have these little sliced radishes. More crunch, more freshness, more colour. So we've got red, yellow, white, red, green. Now some peppers.
And you don't really assemble very exactly. You're being quite sort of liberal in sprinkling things around.
It's looking after itself.
Looks after
the
itself.
Are there.
Oh, gosh. Our favourite kind of cooking.
Yeah.
Any pitfalls that we ought to warn ourselves about?
Lousy ingredients.
I won't be doing that. I'm dying for a taste, actually, if anyone's feeling that they could...
People say, oh, God, I don't know what to cook today. And now I've got sliced spring onions going on. Here are my little broad beans.
And there go the broad beans.
I'm loving the peeled beans. Now I'm tearing loads of shards of basil all over.
I'm going to have a very quick taste.
Olives, finally, you mustn't forget... The anchovies and the olive oil.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is so fresh. I'm just having a nibble of that the olives and the anchovies and the fresh tomato.
And that's, although it's not really my style, it's incredibly healthy too, isn't it?
It is. This is. For those of us who want to feel a bit virtuous, this is so lovely and bright and absolutely delicious. Roly Lee, thank you very much. Next, here is a recipe for picnic pasta salad. And whether you take this on a picnic or you have it in your lunchbox to take to work, it's a very quick and easy pasta salad to make. And actually, it's really good anywhere. I think you could even make it and use it as a side if you're having a barbecue, a party. It's very good as a side dish for something like that. For this recipe, you will need the following. 300 grams, 10 ounces, pasta shapes of your choice. 250 grams, 9 ounces, cherry tomatoes, halved. Sea salt. 100 grams... That's 3.5 ounces black olives, stoned and halved. 200 grams, 7 ounces feta cheese, crumbled. 225 grams, 7 ounces baby spinach. 3 tablespoons of lemon-infused olive oil. 2 tablespoons pine nuts, toasted. A large handful of torn basil. And
this is what you do.
1. Cook the pasta in a large pan of salted boiling water until al dente. Drain the pasta, rinse in cold water, and tip into a large bowl. 2. Add the halved tomatoes to the pasta and sprinkle with sea salt. Add the olives, feta, and spinach, and drizzle with the lemon olive oil. Add the pine nuts and basil, and toss gently before serving. Next, a lovely vegetable ratatouille recipe. Now, I love ratatouille. This is a rich tomato sauce with soft aubergine, courgette, and peppers. And this vegetarian dish is a favourite with everyone. Again, very nice as a side dish to a barbecue to go with your meat and so on. Also nice on its own as a light snack with some lovely crusty bread and butter. You can, if you wish, add chicken to this dish. It's quite nice with that, but I do prefer it as just a vegetable dish on its own.
For this, you will need 2 aubergines, 4 small courgettes, 2 red peppers, 4 large tomatoes, 4 tablespoons olive oil, 2 onions chopped, 2 garlic cloves crushed, 1/2 a teaspoon sugar, salt and freshly ground black pepper, a small bunch of basil roughly torn. And
this is what you do.
1. Cut the aubergines into quarters lengthways. Then cut the quarters into 2.5 cm 1 inch slices. Cut the courgettes into 2.5 cm 1 inch slices. Deseed the peppers and cut them into bite-sized pieces. 2. Score across in the base of each tomato and place them in a heat-proof bowl. Pour over boiling water to cover and set aside for 1 minute. Drain and set aside until cool enough to handle. Then peel away the skins, cut them into quarters, scoop out the seeds and discard. Roughly chop the flesh. 3. Heat the oil in a flame-proof casserole dish and add the onions. Cook over a gentle heat for 8 to 10 minutes, stirring occasionally until golden brown and very tender. Add the aubergines and courgettes, increase the heat slightly, and cook for 2 to 3 minutes. Stir in the peppers, garlic, sugar, some salt and pepper, and 1/2 the basil, and mix well. Cover and cook over a very gentle heat for 20 minutes. 4. Add the tomatoes to the pan and cook for a further 10 minutes. Scatter with the remaining basil and serve. Now I think it's about time for dessert. And I have 2 summer desserts for you today. The first is fruit salad. And this is a tropical fruit salad. And immediately afterwards, we are going to hear how to make strawberry ice cream.
Chef Paul Heathcote will make the perfect fruit salad. What, Paul, is going into this fruit salad?
Oh, well, we've got a lot of tropical fruits, or mainly tropical fruits, so things like pineapples and mangoes, kiwi fruit, some lychees in here. Some bananas as well.
So, I'm slightly alarmed by the coconut, which appears to me not to have been chopped up yet.
Well, we had a discussion on whether we could add something else to the fruit salad to make it perhaps more exciting. And I said dried coconut slices would be great, but I couldn't find any this morning. So there's a fresh coconut here and we'll...
You're going to crack that open now?
We're going to have a go anyway.
Go on, crack... coconut.
Well, first of all, you have to take the milk out. So there's like three holes in the top of the coconut, and a good technique is to use a spoon just to make a hole in that and take out the little black
little eyes, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And then, with a bit of luck, you can just turn that over on the top of.
And that is actually very nice to drink and supposedly very good for you, isn't it, the milk?
It is very good, yes. That'll just start to come out now and drain that out.
Could you use that in the juice if you were doing it with a fresh coconut for the fruit salad?
Yeah, sometimes it will curdle if you've got too much juice in there. But if you had something that was dry, quite dry, then yes, you could use it. You'd have to drain the fruit. But you'd toss the fruit and then leave it. As such, so you probably.
All right, you carry on. Paul is currently grappling, as you
this
can hear,
radio.
I'm sure, with a coconut.
A brick would be better, Jenny.
Would it? Yes. With just a brick and bang it on the floor. Well, you're just going round and round it with a very big knife. And there it goes.
Yeah.
Goodness. You see, I would have used the hammer, I think, to do that. You have beautifully chopped it in half.
Yeah.
Just by going round and round and round.
Yeah, you don't have to try too hard as well. You just use the heel of the knife and just gently had it in my hand. It's not, you know, it's not something
that was seriously impressive, yeah. I have to say. So what else is going in that might be difficult to deal with? Pineapples are quite difficult to deal with.
Yeah, pineapples, I think, create some problem because you've got this rough husk on it. And the easiest way of preparing one is to literally top and tail the each of the pineapple. And by doing that, you end up with a firm base in which to be able to cut the remainder of the husk off. So I've topped and tailed it. I'm going to cut this in half horizontally. So I've created a nice firm base in which the pineapple is not going to move. And then literally with a small serrated knife, this is beautiful for one of these little knives we've just serrated on, so you can run down the outside of the husk and just remove it all the way around.
And then presumably take the hard bit out of the middle. What do you use for that? Can an apple corer do it?
Well, you don't need to, actually. Oh. We've no apple corer, but the easiest way is literally to cut it into four quarters, so vertically. And then all you need to do is literally run your knife down the little triangle that's remained there. And then you can just chop up the pineapple.
And there we are, pineapples already. So. What about the mango? That can be...
The mangoes sometimes can be, yeah. Well, it's almost like a fin, the stone. So there's two flat sides and two pointy sides. So the flat side you can remove by literally running a knife down the side of the fin. And then you end up with a kind of, I suppose, a semicircle. Take the point of a small knife and crisscross it in even pieces into the flesh. Not piercing the skin, and then literally with both hands just peel it back so it looks like hedgehog, some people say. And then you can literally just run your knife through it, and you've got beautifully cubed pieces.
Bite-sized
mango
pieces.
Yeah, so that's a nice, easy one.
Now, I think when we all first started making fruit salads, we were taught to make a syrup with sugar and water, which I suspect we don't do anymore because the sugar kind of... defeats the purpose of having a healthy fruit salad, doesn't it?
Very much so.
What would you do as your syrup?
Freshly squeezed orange. But if you wanted some convenience, then take a really good freshly bottled squeezed orange juice as ease. And then some nice passion fruits, anything with a lot of acidity. You could use lemon juice as well.
And lastly, Paul, what would you use as a topping on it?
Only because I brought the coconut in today. I would take some shavings of... you could buy the dried shavings of coconut. Alternatively, as we've done today, cut one in half.
Split your own.
Yes, and remove the coconut. It's quite a difficult... It's not a difficult thing. It's a technique like anything else, and once mastered, it's very easy. But actually, to remove the coconut, you need to take a reasonably sharp knife and actually make a V by running the knife into the centre of the coconut and literally just ease out a nice V-shaped piece of coconut. And once you've actually... removed that, the remainder comes out very easy indeed.
And then
actually,
you can have your shavings and no cream, and it won't be so fattening.
That's
Paul
right.
Heathcote, thank you very much indeed. Now, we've had a couple of weeks of summer so far, but the good thing about ice cream is you can pop it in the freezer and wait for the next scorcher when it will really be just what you need. But how easy is it to make your own? Well, Robin Weir is the author, with his wife Caroline, of Ice Cream Sorbets and Gelata, the definitive guide. So how do you cook the perfect strawberry ice cream? Robin, how do we begin? What ingredients do we start with?
Well, the particular recipe I brought today is one from Mrs. Marshall's cookery book. She wrote it, The Book of Ices, in 1885. And it's very simple. It needs no machine at all. It is simply fresh strawberries, vanilla sugar, whipping cream, and that's all you need.
Now, this is ice cream and not gelato.
This is...
What is the difference? Because a lot of the recipes that you see for ice cream, you have to make a custard.
The basic difference between an ice cream and a gelato is that a gelato normally doesn't have cream in it. Now, we spent about 3 years researching this, and of course there aren't always records available. But basically, you can make iced cream, which is what this one is. Virtually, it is frozen cream with fruit in it. If you want to make an ice cream with cream in it, you normally would start off with using eggs to thicken it. The gelato word is used normally to sell ordinary ice cream at a higher price. It is very popular to do this, particularly in America. Everything is now gelato. And as a very nice lawyer from the FDA told me, the difference in ice cream and gelato is about a dollar a scoop. There is no legal definition of gelato at all, either in the UK, in Europe, or in America.
OK, so what's the first stage of ice cream?
Well, the whole subject of ices is an enormously complicated. This one that I brought in is a very early one. You don't need a machine. It was before they actually had machines. And all you do is you get some strawberries, 450 grams of strawberries, and you put them into a blender. I mean, I brought a bowl in with a stick blender in it. You put the strawberries in and you put some vanilla sugar in. Now, vanilla sugar, it is essential that you get decent sugar. You get unrefined sugar, none of this nasty processed. I don't know why people don't leave sugar alone. We always use Billington's unrefined sugar. unrefined sugar, because that has got a much nicer taste than ordinary sugar.
And why? How do you do the vanillaing of the sugar?
When you've made a vanilla ice cream, you take the vanilla pod, you wash it out and you dry it, and you get a jar of unrefined sugar and you stick the vanilla pods in it. And in a matter of a few days, you will have vanilla-flavoured sugar. And you can keep them and go on using them for months and months and months.
So you don't put drops of vanilla essence
in it? No, you don't put drops of vanilla essence. You've got vanilla beans. This is something you can actually do with them. Anyhow, you put the strawberries in a bowl with the sugar and you liquidise it. So it's completely liquidised.
So we've whizzed up the strawberries.
You've whizzed up the strawberries with the vanilla sugar. You then get the cream. You put this in another bowl, and I use one of these plastic measuring bowl cups with a handle on it.
What kind of cream? How thick is it?
It is whipping cream. We use whipping cream in every single recipe simply because it's easily available. And the other reason is that in America, it's heavy cream in America. They always kind of want to go one better. And it's exactly the same. If you use double cream, you can very easily make whipping cream out of it. You simply use three parts of double cream to one part of whole milk and mix it up, and you have whipping cream. Anything less than that, you can't really beat it up. So here is whipping cream, and it is 250 millilitres, and you whisk it up until it gets to the soft peak area. So if you lift the thing up, it actually makes in the peaks. And then all you do...
Now, you've used an electric whisk.
I've used an electric whisk.
Because it's very noisy.
You can use a hand whisk.
And we've done it very... You've done a little bit of it before.
Yes.
How long would it actually take to whip it up to the peaks that
One
you
and
need?
A half to 2 minutes with an electric whisk.
And if you were doing it by
with
hand?
A big hand balloon whisk, it depends on how energetic you are, but 2-3 minutes. I've seen people who can do it very fast, but there's no point. I mean, it's so easy. It's so easy to use. Use an electric beater.
And when you say it peaks, do you mean it a little bit like a meringue would have to peak?
Yes. As you take the beater out of the cream, it takes some of the whipped cream with it, so it will make like little peaks as you take it out.
All right. So now we've got the cream ready, and the strawberries are mashed.
All you
up.
Do is you fold in with a spatula the strawberries into the cream, and mix it up gently and then put it in a freezer box. Just an ordinary freezer box, which this particular one is about, 8 inches by 8 inches by 3 inches. And you put it in the freezer. And you put it in the freezer for 1 hour. And then after 1 hour, you take it out and you get yourself a large serving fork. And then you make sure that it will freeze. It will start to freeze round the edges and on the and on the top. You then mix it up and break up all the ice crystals. You then, when you've done all that and made it into an even texture right the way across, you put it back in the freezer for another hour, and then you do it again, and you probably then do it a third time. These were both done, because I brought two in, these were both done three times. So it takes less than a minute, you know, once an hour. And then it's actually ready to serve.
And if you did, if you had an ice cream maker, you wouldn't have to go through all that fuss, would you?
You don't, if you have it. I mean, we've got, I can't tell you how many ice cream makers we have. We have so many. But you don't need it for this one. And this is to make an ice cream as it traditionally was made. This is how people in 1885, when they bought Mrs. Marshall's Book of Ices, this is what they actually made.
I've been pretending that I wasn't tasting it, but I have been. And it's lovely as you were talking. I've just been dipping into the corner, and it is really very, very, very nice. There's one alongside it,
okay,
now which is also very pink.
I brought a second one. It's not quite as pink. Now, what I did with this one, it's the identical recipe, but I added to it a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar.
Now that sounds horrible to me.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do to really surprise people, but don't tell them. This is an absolutely unbelievable trick. Get some ordinary commercial vanilla ice cream. Don't tell anyone what you've done, and put just little drops of balsamic vinegar all over the top. People will taste it, and they won't actually make the connection, because the idea of putting balsamic vinegar in ice cream is a little strange. It makes even cheap supermarket vanilla ice cream tastes really good. But this sharpens up the flavour of the strawberries.
It's a very subtle difference,
yes.
But it's just got an extra little edge of flavour to
it. Well, the other thing you can do also is put pepper on the strawberries. Now, pepper on strawberries is becoming popular. And if you put pepper on strawberries, if you've tried it once, you will go on doing it forevermore.
This strawberry is gorgeous. It's also the perfect consistency. How long does it need to be out of the freezer before you serve it?
Well, normally you would serve it, you would make it and serve it, but that would have meant coming here at about 6 in the morning. So I froze it overnight, and I took it out of the freezer and brought it in an ice box surrounded by things. It's been out of the freezer by about 45 minutes, and it's the absolute perfect consistency.
Absolutely perfect. Robin Weir, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
If you'd like to contact the programme, you can do so in the usual way by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN @theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this programme again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery. You can also go to incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. Well, that's all we have time for today, and What's Cooking will be taking a break next month. So until I'm with you again, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking.